In this episode, I have with me Brian Russell. How are you doing, Brian?
Great, Eric. How are you?
Good, good. You're now serving as the executive director there at Bridgetown in Portland. Prior to that, you were with YouVersion for many, many years. Prior to that, you were serving even overseas. I would love to just get a kind of the lay of the land. How have you seen ministry change from one environment to the next? Obviously, you have different roles, but you're in Portland now, and it's a very post-Christian city. There's a little rivalry between us, Austin, and Portland, who started the Keep Austin Weird, Keep Portland Weird mantra going. But I'd love to just hear kind of your experience in ministry over these years and how you've seen the message of Jesus have to adapt, even though the message doesn't change, the way we share it does.
Yeah, that's a great question and a great intro. I, in some ways, feel like maybe the message of Jesus and his kingdom really don't need to adapt a whole lot, depending on context. And yet, in some ways, I think it does need to adapt. So you alluded to the fact that I lived for a number of years overseas. Specifically, we were in Muslim majority countries. So that was definitely a different context than living in the what I would consider the belt buckle of the Bible Belt in Oklahoma City for a number of years, which was then a very different context from where we live now in Portland, Oregon. And yet, in some ways, the reality of the gospel being the good news that Jesus's kingdom is here and is penetrating, you know, this earth, doesn't change and is the same message and the same hope, whether you're in Muslim background countries, you're in the Bible Belt, or you're in, you know, post-Christian, post-modern, you know, context here in the Pacific Northwest.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think for me, I'm really curious as, you know, you're stepping into a church, John Mark Comer is the founder. He's now doing Practicing the Way. Lead pastor is Tyler Staton. He's got that great book on prayer. Always say it backwards, but I think you're praying like monks, living like fools. Sometimes I'll say it the opposite, living like monks, praying like fools. But I would just love to hear some of what you found to be effective in Portland. What are some of the ways you're seeing the people at Bridgetown reaching their friends, reaching their family? What are some of the things you see even post-COVID that have been real positive there?
Yeah, you know, maybe this is a bit of an overstatement, but in some ways I have found living in Portland to be similar to living in a Muslim majority country or context, in that it's fairly easy to get into conversations about spirituality. And it may be pretty difficult or take a really long time to see someone in either of those contexts become a Jesus follower. But the ability to enter into a conversation about spiritual things and things that maybe transcend just the material or the natural is pretty easy. In the Muslim world, we were primarily in North Africa, and there was a lot of animism and sort of local expressions of folk Islam that were mixed into the kind of mainline Islamic faith. And all of that created a recipe for entering into conversations about spirituality pretty quickly. I could be on a train from one city to the next, and in a short train ride, talk about the things of God, talk about spiritual things, and it wasn't weird. It was part of the language of the people and the mindset of folks. And then similarly here in the Northwest, I don't, you know, people aren't so ready to jump into conversations about God or the Bible, but they are very open to conversations about prayer or offering prayer for people, thinking about supernatural things happening and praying for supernatural things to happen in some ways lands easier on the ears of people in this context than people in the Bible Belt sometimes.
Interesting. Yeah.
And so I think in general, what I'm saying is I think in every context that we find ourselves, there are open doors or ways that we can connect with people that don't require major leaps necessarily, but it's building upon their cultural framework, their worldview, and just kind of leaning into that in ways that afford natural opportunities.
Yeah, that's really great. I'd love to hear just a little bit about the differences between the context of a church like Life Church, you know, the amazing, generous church that gave us YouVersion and so many other resources. There's a lot of similarities between the churches I've been a part of, Gateway and Mosaic, that has kind of an attractional, like this is a safe place to bring your friends. I think that's probably true at Life Church. And I think that's true at Bridgetown too. But I also get the impression that it's not an attractional experience necessarily on Sunday. That emphasis on prayer, that emphasis on experiencing God's presence, is there a difference? Or am I reading more into it than is necessary? Describe a little bit about what ministry is like there at Bridgetown.
Yeah, you know, I think that probably scripture and God are intentionally vague when it comes to the details of, quote, how you run a church or how you organize church gatherings, even. Because there's beauty in the different expressions and the different focuses of the many local churches, you know, throughout the world. And I've had a chance to experience that in extremes because of living in different language contexts and very different cultural contexts. And so at a fairly young age, realized there is no such thing as the way to do church. Or, you know, the way to do church today, that always at any given time, there are beautiful, successful, meaningful expressions of his church happening all over the planet. And I think that is true even in our own country, and even in our own city. Here in Portland, there's quite a different cultural context between the city of Portland, and then the suburbs or the outlined areas of the city. And all of that affords unique opportunities for church expression. So one of the, you know, unique things about our city, and maybe this is not as unique as it once was, but people in this city generally do not have a natural respect for or assumption that the Bible is accurate or trustworthy, or do not naturally assume that there is a higher power or that God is benevolent and loving and wants to interact with us. So there, because of that, I think our church wouldn't necessarily be super successful in trying to just make people feel welcome to come into our doors, because it's going to take more than just someone feeling welcome to find themselves walking into a church in Portland, Oregon. And so with that, I actually think there's an element of attraction to countercultural things that the church offers, or authentic expressions of faith and power that are appealing to those who are most distant from God, because they see something that they can't deny, that they can't explain. They see a change in someone's life, a coworker, someone they go to school with, that doesn't make any sense, and it compels them to learn more. Or they hear about or meet people who think so differently than them that there's maybe it's a bit like being attracted to staring at a car wreck, where they must come into this church to find out what is happening. How could this mindset be something that a group of people adhere to and are following to? And so there's, again, I think that there's unique opportunities in whatever context you find yourself to be an attractive entity towards the things of Christ. And sometimes that attraction, and I think for many years in our country, in the church, I think that attraction has come from, maybe at the risk of generalizing, trying to feel as much like the culture as possible so people feel comfortable. And what I'm finding here in the Northwest is that's not going to be enough. Hmm. And in some ways, perhaps even being countercultural is the an attraction for people, because they need some explanation for what they're hearing or seeing from others.
That's really well said. I'd love to, in just one last question, get your insights. You've worked with YouVersion for many, many years. You've teamed up with the guys at the Bible Project. How have you seen people use those resources well in their church or in their own walk with God, in terms of trying to reach people, trying to disciple people with maybe very little understanding of the scriptures?
Yeah, you know, my greatest joy and passion with being able to lead YouVersion for as long as I did was the idea and the reality of being able to help facilitate getting the Bible into people's hands in an accessible format, meaning in their language, in audio format for people to be able to listen to, to the thousands of languages. And there was something extremely satisfying and life-giving in being a part of a ministry that afforded that, that made that possible. And I still marvel at the ways that technology has opened doors that weren't possible or didn't exist before. And, you know, we all probably can attest to the downsides to technology. And I continue as a fellow, struggler in 2024 to not let technology rule me, to not let technology disrupt healthy rhythms of life. But at the same time, I am super grateful for the ways that technology can be redeemed and is being redeemed to allow God's heart and love for people to be accessible unlike it's ever been before. And so I love what my friends at YouVersion continue to do. I love what my good friends at Bible Project just down the street, continue to do to help get scripture as well as scripture learning and great content built around scripture into people's hands in accessible formats and in ways that they can access it at any time. That's and right. In any place.
That's so good. Well, thank you for taking the time, Brian. We're really grateful. The ministry is bridgetown.church. Thanks for all you've done through YouVersion in the Middle East, and now what you're doing in Portland. Keep up the great work.
Yeah, thanks so much, Eric. You too.